You are listening to TKO on CFRU Radio 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and available worldwide at CFRU.ca. What is happening, everybody? What is good with y'all? It's your girl, Janan, right here on TKO. As you already know, here on TKO, all we talk about is mixed martial arts, also known as MMA, and other combat sports too. We also discuss the issues that surround the world of fighting and talk about notable fighters and athletes and how they all got started in the game and, of course, where they are now. So what is happening, y'all? I hope everybody has been having a fantastic day and a phenomenal week so far. Goodness gracious, I can't believe it's already been another week. But also, as we are recording this episode, it is officially October 31st. So happy Halloween, everybody. I hope that y'all are spooking each other out and not too much, like to a balanced degree, because, like, you know, just like how you watch a horror movie, you don't want to be you don't want your soul to just leave your body. You want that little bit of stimulation and a little bit of adrenaline release, and then the rest, you know, it's not real. So you just, you know, you go on about your day and your life. So whatever you're doing tonight or whatever you've been up to for Halloween weekend, I hope that it's been pretty spooky, but to a limit, and that y'all have been having a lot of fun. I just want to use this platform to give a big shout out to my good friend and, should I say, former colleague, because we actually used to work together. Shout out to Karen Tran, who's an amazing friend of mine, and she hosted an amazing party over the weekend for Halloween. I like to call her the Great Gatsby of Gen Z. So, you know what, Karen, that's probably going to be your new title. I'm probably going to save that in my contacts for your name. But anyway, so yeah, I hope that everybody's been having a great time thus far. You know, if parties are not your thing, just, you know, dress up for yourself, just have a little bit of fun, whatever works for you for Halloween. Or even if not that, just get some candy from the store, you know, enjoy it by yourself or with some, you know, friends and loved ones, and just, you know, watch some horror movies, do what you gotta do to enjoy yourself this Halloween. I was so surprised, also such a tangent, okay, because I did drop by the store to get some candy to hand out to the wonderful children in my neighborhood. However, everything was gone. So I did manage to get like two packets of things, but it's honestly not enough to give out to kids. So if anybody who knows me comes by my door tonight and is trick-or-treating and I only give you like a small box of Smarties or something, it's not that I'm being stingy. It's that I literally could not find any more candy because everybody already got the candies, and it's my mistake. I should have gotten more candy boxes beforehand. I should have thought this through, but I just couldn't find any more. I mean, if y'all want some Persian candy, some Persian sweets, I'll give y'all some. But when it comes to the, you know, peanut-free candies that are usually handed out for trick-or-treating, I'm really sorry. I was only able to get a limited amount. So again, it's not that I'm being stingy. It's just that I couldn't find any more tonight. So, I mean, y'all should still drop by. Like, my family and I, you know, we carved some pumpkins, you know, we got some modest decorations out. So, yeah, drop by if you want some candy. If not, that's fine. I'll just have it myself. Anyways, okay. So, speaking of Halloween, y'all know what's scary? I'll tell you what's scary. So if you've been catching up with whatever's been happening in the world of combat sports, especially as of this past weekend, you know we had a very scary moment in combat sports, but not in a bad way, like, oh, scary, like something is in danger. Scary as in we witnessed history in the making, and it was scary to the sense that Francis Ngannou got the job done, in my opinion, when he fought against Tyson Gypsy King Fury on Saturday. And the biggest boxing match of the century, in my opinion. So I thought that was the scariest thing that we could witness over Halloween weekend compared to anything else. And, you know, again, it wasn't like the worst thing that happened, like scary in the sense that, okay, we need to, like, you know, we're having a crisis sort of thing. Scary as in Francis Ngannou's punches connecting with your chin. That type of scary. So I feel like Halloween came kind of early to Tyson Fury because, I mean, if I were him inside the ring facing off against someone like Francis Ngannou, yeah, I would be pretty scared and probably not want to face off against him in the first place. But, you know, it was what it was. And I'm really, really, really excited to be talking about this fight right now on episode 345 of TKO. Okay, so we got that coming up for today. And also, there's another, well, should I say MMA update that I really do want to talk about. Unfortunately, the update was released literally after we recorded our episode last week. Like 2 hours after I released the episode, the update was out. So I was like, darn it, I wish I could talk about it on our previous episode. But now that we're here, I'm just gonna talk to you all about it on this episode. So how about before we talk about Fury and Ngannou, we talk about this update right here. All right, I hope y'all are all buckled down. Anyways, as you can tell, I'm a little bit hypoglycemic because I haven't had Halloween candy yet. But anyways, I hope that y'all are ready for this roller coaster of an episode. So now, without further ado, let's get started. Okay, I'm so excited. So talking about the MMA update that I pre-warned you guys about. This, okay, I mean, you know when people just come to you and like, okay, do you want the good news first or the bad news first? And I feel like, unfortunately, the way I kind of layered things for this episode, yeah, the upcoming news is going to be a little bit of a bad news for all of our MMA fans out there. So I'm sorry, I mean, we have to break it. You probably heard about it by this point, but I still have to break it too. I'm so sorry. So breaking news. John Jones is out of UFC 295. And I mean, yeah, I said it with a lot of enthusiasm because I'm sure just like probably like how I was, anybody who heard this news was so bummed, incredibly bummed to the core. So I just thought, you know what, maybe I can just lighten up the mood by being a little bit excited about it. But deep down, when I heard the news, I really wish that somebody could record my reaction, my facial reaction, because I just thought that, you know, there was a camera in the background and I stared into the camera just with so much disappointment in my face, which I'm sure a lot of people out there probably experienced as well. So John Jones is out from UFC 295 because he sustained an injury to his shoulder in training camp. So he, and supposedly there is an actual clip of this injury out, like the moment that it happened, somebody somehow documented it. And I don't even know how this is possible because, you know, as an athlete, as the champion, you just train like all the time. And like for somebody to, I mean, yes, they do have vloggers and just cameras depicting, like documenting their training camp, but not all the time, bro. Okay, so for this to come out right away, I found it a little bit sus, I'm not gonna lie. But anywho, there is actually a clip of John Jones in training camp. He is about to go for a takedown against his training partner, and then he just messes up his shoulder, and that is his injury. And now he's saying that he's not fit to fight, or I mean, he already did say that he wasn't fit to fight against Stipe Miocic for UFC 295, which I mean is very disappointing. This was going to be, after all, well, it was going to be happening in about 2 weeks, November 11th. It was going to be the headliner for UFC 295 at Madison Square Garden in New York City. So it was a pretty big fight. it was a huge fight. It was supposed to be a huge fight. And also, of course, I mean, we were going to have the heavyweight championship belt on the line. And this was going to be the first time that John Jones, as the heavyweight champion now, was going to be defending his heavyweight title against someone. Well, in this case, the former heavyweight champion at the UFC. So overall, yes, we're all very disappointed. And I'm not going to be that person who wants to hurt a person when they're down. But because I really, I mean, I saw what happened, and okay, I mean, I'm not a fighter myself, so I can only imagine how painful that must have been and how annoying and just annoying, period, that must have been to everybody hearing this news, including John Jones and his camp. But I want to highlight two things in this case, which I think if they were to be noticed more and paid attention to more, this probably wouldn't have happened. So one thing about John Jones is that, well, when he initially moved up a weight division to the heavyweight division, he trained for like, what, 3 years almost in order to go from 205 pounds to be able to fight at 265 pounds. He doesn't really weigh at 265, but for him to put on that extra weight, all that extra weight, in the meantime, in a healthy way, so that it's not all fat and mostly muscle, well, that requires a crap ton of strength and conditioning, right? In a very highly regulated way, so that it would be done smartly. So John Jones did that, and then he came and fought, and then he won his fight. He became the heavyweight champion. But then, since then, he hasn't really done anything. And one thing about these fighters, especially John Jones, I mean, I'm not just making this up. There's actual evidence and documentation of this sort of stuff happening specifically with John Jones. He cares about training, but he cares about other things more, if that makes sense, and other unhealthy things more. There is documentation of him doing substances, literally. When, like, he would leave the gym, he would do substances, come back in the gym, train, whatever. So it's like, we've seen that happen with him. And I'm not trying to say, okay, just because he uses illicit substances, he's not serious about his training, or like he's an addict, he's a junkie, whatever he is. That's not for me to judge. But at the same time, when we're dealing with a professional athlete and the heavyweight champion of the world, there are certain expectations, there are certain ways and guidelines for somebody to be conducting themselves. And that was just one part of it. Another part of it is, you know, for you to stay in shape all the time, you have to be putting in work all the time. And what, like, the sort of injury that I saw from John Jones in this case, that could have been completely prevented if he had trained more consistently, in my opinion, and just, you know, kept his body warm and ready more. Because that sort of injury happens when you haven't trained in a hot minute, and then you go in, you try to train, and then that, it just happens. It's a very subtle movement, or should I say mismovement, can lead to that sort of injury. But again, it's 100% preventable if he had consistently trained, and if not even that, at least kept his body, like, quote unquote, warmed up by having a regular schedule for his training. Another thing could have been that who knows? He didn't really comment on this a lot, but I'm just speaking from my logic and, you know, own knowledge of sports physiology. He could have been overtrained. He could have pushed himself too hard, and, you know, pushing himself too hard, not recovering for too long, and just getting back in there in a not so timely manner because his body hasn't healed yet. So that could have been another reason as to why he sustained the injury that he did. But either way, it happened. We're all bummed. I'm sure John is also bummed himself. Again, I just want to emphasize that I by no means I am here to convict John Jones of anything. these are my personal opinions, and if y'all want to talk about it more, I would highly encourage you to hit us up on social media at TKO_podcast. Let us know if you agree with what we just said. Do you think that John Jones probably wasn't taking his training camp seriously, hence why he was injured? Or do you think that something else was in play? I'm not going to lie, again, with all due respect to John Jones and John Jones's fans, you know, no denying the fact that this man is arguably one of the best out there in mixed martial arts. I mean, besides someone else that I'll be talking about in a few minutes. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But at the same time, it is pretty suspicious that this sort of thing just happens out of the blue, 2 weeks out of the fight. And again, I'm not going to lie. When I first heard the news, like, I felt like I almost looked like a skeptical hippo, because I'm like, why is it that every time that a John Jones fight gets canceled, it's always something to do with John Jones himself? It's always, for the lack of better terms, an excuse or a reasoning that is brought up from John Jones's camp and not the other person's. It was almost reminiscent of the time that he was supposed to be fighting off against Daniel Cormier. I think it was for UFC 200 or one of the milestone UFCs that were happening a few years ago. And this highly anticipated fight between John Jones and DC, Daniel Cormier, was supposed to happen. And probably, I think it was either the day before or just a few days before the fight that John Jones had to pull out of the fight because he had doped. He had used anabolic substances for the fight, and he was pulled out of the fight. There were also many other instances that he got into trouble with the law, and he had to just completely, leave the UFC and not be around anymore. And so, you know, I'm not trying to accuse him of anything, but at the same time, when you hear news like that, it's like, well, this is not the first time that I'm seeing this happen with a certain individual. So it's like, what's happening? You know, either this person has some really bad luck or something else is in play, right? Like, I'm not in his camp. I'm not in his life. So anything that I'm saying is just my personal opinion as a fan of the sport. And just somebody, you know, I was genuinely looking forward to this fight. I always love to see John Jones fight, but at the same time, you know, you just have your own suspicions and you just want to figure out why things happen the way they do, especially if something has happened similarly before and it just keeps happening again. You're like, what's going on? Seriously, what's going on? So anyways, it is what it is. I really hope that he heals better this time and is able to make a comeback very soon. He did say, he did make an announcement that he was going to be making a comeback in a few months. So like sometime in the new year, hopefully, but we'll see. We've been hearing this sort of excuses over and over and over. So I totally get why he's saying the sort of stuff that he is, because he just doesn't want to be left off from the UFC roster and for the fans to still be excited about him fighting whenever he is actually fighting, which, you know, who knows? I don't know what is going to happen. He does say that roughly, but did he like say it and like sign it off? You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I can't really trust John Jones anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a very hot take. And I know I'm going to receive a lot of backlash for this, but it's just suspicious. It's weird. It's so weird. And yeah, anyways, I'm just going to leave it at that. But anywho, the Stipe and John Jones fight is off for UFC 295. But now we are going to be having a light heavyweight interim title bouts between Sergey Pavlovich and Tom Aspinall. And you know what? I stand this. I really love this fight for both of these guys, especially Tom Aspinall. I feel like he's been really proving recently that he's a young prospect. He has that KO power very much, like, to the core. I've never seen someone throw as powerful of shots like him. Besides someone else that I'm going to be talking about in a few moments, who's no longer in the UFC, but was the UFC champion the four. He left the UFC. But anyways, I'm so excited for this fight for these two guys. And I wish that they actually had it as the main event, because right now it seems like we have Jiří Procházka fighting off against Alex Pereira for the light heavyweight championship belt on the line. Which is, I mean, it's a great fight. We love both guys. They're absolute monsters. I'm excited. I'm actually excited. I'm still excited for this fight. Of course I'm excited for this fight. But it just sucks that we don't get to see that Stipe and John Jones fight. Anyways, looking forward to it. We will be talking about these fights more during fight week. All right. So now, getting into the biggest and most important event that has happened in combat sports history. Or should I say, at least not just for this year, but for the century anyways. I think what we witnessed on Saturday, which was the boxing fight between Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou, was arguably one of the biggest moments in combat sports history. And I say it with literally goosebumps on my body, because to give you a brief synopsis, basically we had Francis Ngannou, who was a former heavyweight champion at the UFC, make his boxing debut in a fight against Tyson Fury, the current heavyweight champion in boxing, and the former undisputed unified heavyweight champion. This was the biggest fight that could have possibly happened in heavyweight division of combat sports. And what happened during the fight, nobody really anticipated. We never really anticipated Francis Ngannou coming to this fight with the tolerance and stamina that he had against Tyson Fury. Because as you may recall, even like I said it on the last episode, well, Ngannou might have some endurance issues, because one, you know, if you look at his physique, he's all muscles and he could get gassed out because the fight is going to be longer than a usual MMA fight by a little bit. So it will be exhausting for him. That was my prediction anyways at the time. And I did see it as a huge issue for him in this fight. However, coming into this fight, it looked like both Tyson Fury and Ngannou, you know, they had pretty similar stamina and cardio. Although Ngannou, I did see him gas out a little bit towards the end of the fight. But for the first two thirds of the fight, I totally saw him putting in extra effort and power versus Fury and just completely dominating over him. In fact, we saw what happened on that historic third round, in which Francis Ngannou, who's not even a professional boxer, threw a punch and knocked down Tyson Fury, the king of the heavyweight boxing. He knocked him down. And that was, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of that iconic picture of Muhammad Ali knocking down his opponent and just looking at, and this was after he had, you know, he had lost his belt and then he regained his title in that fight and he knocked down his opponent and he just kind of looked at him like, take that, you know? So it was just, like, that's such an iconic picture in boxing history. And I feel like this, on top of it, was definitely up there. Because we had a non-boxer knock down the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing. And to me, that was beautiful. When that happened, I was screaming so loud. I was off the couch and just, I don't know what I was doing. I probably blacked out. But anywho, it was very beautiful to watch. It was a huge moment for MMA and combat sports. And I just want to say, you know, I'm really proud of what Francis Ngannou has accomplished, because doesn't matter what the outcome of that fight was, that's what we needed to see. That knockdown by itself was an outcome by itself, if that makes sense. If you did continue to watch the fight until the 10th round, well, nobody finished nobody. That's one thing. Although we thought that Ngannou was going to potentially finish Fury. But The fight went to Fury through a split decision. So even one of the judges gave the fight to Ngannou, which is very impressive. Again, this man was just making his boxing debut. He had no professional boxing experience. And here he is coming into his first ever boxing fight, professional boxing fight. And this is the outcome that he ends up with. And I kept just telling my friends and my family, like, in all honesty, this was a true life visualization of the Rocky movie. I feel like Francis Ngannou truly had his Rocky moment on Saturday, in which everybody thought he was the underdog. Nobody was really, I mean, yeah, he's a great guy, he's such a powerful fighter, but nobody really saw him as a great boxer, okay? But then him coming into the fight, the way that he fought, everybody's jaws was on the floor. And incredible, just absolutely incredible. And even though he lost the fight through a split decision, he was the winner. He was the one who was smiling. He was the one who was cheering on. And Tyson Fury on the other hand, even though he had technically won that fight, and he hadn't even lost his WBC belt, he was so upset. He was so upset. I have never seen this man this upset in his whole boxing career. And that tells you something. That tells you that Fury saw the power of Ngannou by himself and potentially underestimated him. Yeah, absolutely. But also, just goes to show that, you know, the world will remember what happened on the third round of that fight, and will remember this fight between Ngannou and Fury as a huge moment for Francis Ngannou as a true combat sports athlete, like the most authentic form of combat sports athlete that they can come in. That's Francis Ngannou. This man, he's a warrior inside and outside the ring. And I feel like at this point, words cannot describe how proud I truly am of Francis Ngannou. In my opinion, and you can fight me for this, okay? You can fight me for this. Francis Ngannou is the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. He knocked down Tyson Fury, the heavyweight champion in boxing. And in his last MMA fight in the UFC, he demonstrated absolutely superb wrestling against Ciryl Gane, in which he was still able to maintain his title. And so, you know, that's just absolutely amazing to me. And for that reason, I truly, genuinely believe that Francis Ngannou is the greatest of all time in all combat sports, period. Not even John Jones. Nobody else. Nobody's done it like Francis Ngannou's done it. So take that, okay? Okay, as you can tell, I got a little bit hyped there. But overall, amazing fight. Honestly, shout out to both athletes for putting on such an amazing show. And I'm talking about, you know, the show itself, not just the boxing part. The entire production was amazing. We had a mini concert before the fight. It was amazing. All in all, I'm so happy that I am alive today and was alive for the time that the fight happened, because I mean, we all did witness history in the making for combat sports. It was such an iconic night for combat sports. Anyways, I'm just looking at the clock right now. Unfortunately, that is all the time we're going to be having for this week, y'all. Make sure you go to cfru.ca to catch up with previous episodes. You can also go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts to download our episodes. And until next time, it's your girl Janan right here, and this is TKO. Peace out.